when you want to quit, Thursday. Bin. Their series, week 2. First thing is to take a moment and ask God what He wants to show you before listening today. You can even pause this for a moment if needed. Next is the daily. Let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Hebrews 12:1. This is a guest devotional from a friend of mine. My youngest son is an athlete at heart. He runs every race hard. During track season, he frequently walks off the asphalt in tears, heaving, because he has given every drop of his energy to running his race. At a recent track meet, my 6-year-old was the third leg runner on his relay team. As the runner before him got closer, my son moved forward and extended his arm back to receive the baton. At that point, they were in fourth place. Well, this son of mine hates, and I mean hates, to lose. So he sprinted fast. Too fast, in fact. From the sidelines, we saw how much energy he exerted. He was trying to close the distance between himself and the three teams in front of him. He did it too. He passed the guy in third quickly. He zoomed past the guy in second. And before the first 100-meter curve was complete, he had moved in front of the little guy in first place. He held that first place position for the second 100 meters. But somewhere around the 200-meter mark, his energy waned, his legs started talking to him, and he started slowing down. He was tired after having spent so much energy catching up, and it showed. During the third 100 meters, he fell from first to second, and it appeared that he would soon fall back to third. But right at the moment that the runner behind him threatened to catch him, my little runner heard a familiar voice. My husband was waiting for him at the last 100 meters. He was shouting to our little runner that the finish line was near. Focus on the finish, son. Don't quit, hold your ground, dig deep and focus on the finish. Between the sound of my husband's voice and the breath on the back of his neck from the boy in third place, my son apparently found a new source of strength. The look on his face changed from numb exhaustion to a grimace of pure agony and determination all mixed together. A renewed focus made all the difference in his ability to fight to the finish. His legs starting moving faster as he held his ground and pushed to the end of his race to hand the baton to the team member to run after him. Life is like that sometimes. It's like a race you're trying to run, even though you've exhausted your resources and are simply out of steam. Yet the writer of Hebrews encourages us in today's key verse to run with endurance the race God has set before us. Maybe you're worn out from doing too much, too fast. Maybe your body presents a challenge as you battle physical ailments that slow you down. Maybe your emotional or mental energy is low as you fight to maintain a positive outlook and trust God for His best, even though it seems like you only fall further behind in your finances, relationships, or career. Focus on the finish, my friend. Don't quit. Last but not least is your two prayers for the day. First, pray, God, what are you showing me, and what am I going to do about it? Second, ask God to help me to see one person that I can serve through a kind word, random act of kindness, or simple gift today. If you're listening through the Epic Life app, make sure you click the back button, then click to complete the reading. If you would like to keep listening for the 4x6 plan, which is how to read through the New Testament with 4 minutes per day, 6 days a week, then here goes. This is Mark chapter 14, verses 12 through 31. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare the Passover meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions, As you go into the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?" He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, and found everything just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. As they were reclining at the table and eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you who is eating with me will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me?" "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go, just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays him. It would be better for him if he had never been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," he said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink wine again until the day I drink it new in the kingdom of God." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 1 through 13. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, "At just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation, I helped you." Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We have never wronged anyone, we have never taken advantage of anyone, we have never cheated anyone. I am not saying this to condemn you, but I am speaking as if to my own children. Open your hearts to us. I am speaking with great earnestness to you, Corinthians. Open your hearts wide to us. We have not been unfair to you, we have not corrupted you, we have not taken advantage of you. I say this not to condemn you. I have said before that you have such a place in our hearts that we would live or die with you. I've spoken to you with great frankness. My boast about you has given me great confidence in you. I am filled with joy in all our troubles. For even in our severe sufferings in Macedonia, our overflowing joy and our extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Therefore, we urge Titus, since he had earlier started this work among you, to see that you brought it to completion as well. Just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have shown you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I am testing your sincerity and the genuineness of your love by comparing it with the eagerness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Don't forget to click back and complete your reading or comment on the app, and we'll see you tomorrow.